fundamentally, we are neither moving nor still, neither silent nor acting, speaking. And yet, we need to clarify this, so sometimes we emphasize one side or another. So in sitting, in sashin, in practice, because of our, let me say, tendencies of not being still, not being present, not being silent, we put attention on these matters so that we can discover what is so. Of course, you all know very well, even if just having heard it and read it, that body, mind are not two. Mind and the universe are not two. Body, universe are not two. And yet we often forget that. So when we're starting sashin like we are now, starting this time of practice together and sitting and all the other forms of sashin, it's important to clarify this aspect of what we're doing, so that we can put our intention, effort more skillfully to manifest our life. So one of the aspects of sitting is to enter into the stillness and silence of being present. By that I mean, whether we talk about it on the side of mind, emotion, thought, or whether we talk about it on the side of the body, agitation, we're talking about the same. Sitting down, standing up, walking, it's all in being still, in being silent. I don't mean just silent in terms of not speaking, but silent in terms of this mind chatter, agitation, attachment, clinging, reaction, all the different ways that hinder us from manifesting our life. So when we sit, often the first thing we discover is, despite the fact that we seem outwardly still, or I should say, not outwardly, but externally in the form, sometimes the body form isn't still. Sometimes the mind, thoughts, emotion isn't still. And that, if we say agitation or unstillness, has its own momentum and force. That's not the problem. Well, that's not what's most significant. What's most significant is our attaching, clinging, and reacting to it, or getting entangled in it. And that's what we get to see as we start Sesshin. And that's the place where we can make effort to put down for a moment our actions in those directions, in those activities. We can settle into the silence or stillness of being present. That's a stillness and silence of body and a stillness and silence of mind. Again, silence doesn't exclude noise, sound, appearing, disappearing, whether inside or outside, because they do. Even as we sit here, we hear the sounds of the traffic, of the snow, of the various mechanical functions of the building, the radiators maybe, the wind, the creaking. We feel the sounds of our body. We feel all sorts of movement. And yet all of that is within, if I say it, stillness. All of it, I'd say even more, only manifests the stillness of its other side. It's like a picture where you notice whether it's the color or the black strokes, but you don't notice the white, if I'll say, empty spaces of the picture. And yet one is required for the other, and vice versa, in that particular picture. Even if it's all covered in black, there, some of you might know there are famous paintings like that, and yet it's not quite all the same. And it's only so because of the stillness and the silence. So ours is to be able to also include that aspect of sitting, of being still, of being ourself. Because usually we miss that aspect of our life. We miss that aspect of others because we are holding to our perspective, our attachments, our reactions to them. Oh, they're saying that. That must mean that's because I know they're always, or our own internal, I'm so afraid of that happening. And right away, all we hear is our fear. And we miss our life. We miss what? So not that the arising of fear or reactions are something, quote, bad. They're more of this life manifesting, and yet our attachment and clinging to them, our failure to see how they're intermingled with the whole of life, how they're intermingled with the stillness and silence, makes it difficult, if not impossible, for us to act skillfully and appropriately to manifest more than just a reactive habit, more than just a narrow self-centeredness. So as we sit, as we start practice, as we start these days of practicing together, I want to encourage us to allow ourselves to be our true nature, which allows this stillness and silence, not knowing, to manifest in moment, 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 whether we're sitting or walking, or whether thoughts are arising and we're reacting and troubled and attaching to them until we notice that, or whether we can allow them to arise and pass, or to simply fade away as they do, whether our bodily aches, pains, movements can be in stillness so that we don't have to react out of and with our bodily habits that hinder us from being present. So I'm starting with this because this is the base of what we're going to be doing for the next several days. And in a way, it's most important for us to keep this effort connected to this. Again, doesn't make a difference whether sometimes it seems bodily efforts having to do with stillness or being able to sit upright in the midst of body agitation or difficulties. Sitting upright includes using what's appropriate for our body, whether it's cross-legged or kneeling or in a chair or in open sitting, walking. We're the ones in being present who could see and do what's appropriate. And the same, it doesn't exclude working with whatever arises. And yet, because we're working out of stillness, the agitation is manifested in stillness and therefore doesn't have anything more than the arising, passing of agitation, emotion, thought, attachment, and it allows us to skillfully and appropriately manifest breathing, being present, rather than reacting and entangling and building over and over, more and more. Okay, I want to stop now because the reason I'm speaking this way is so that we can clarify what we're going to be doing, what we are doing, what we are. See, fundamentally, in sesshin, in sitting, in each moment, we're only manifesting our true nature, which is the true nature of the whole universe. See? The true nature of, if I say it, no fixed separate self, which is manifesting the universe of form empty, if I say such stinky words. Being this, not taking it, these words, as descriptors or as something that has a content, a cognitive content that we have to understand or figure out, but rather as encouragements and supports. Okay, let me stop and we can talk about this as we go on. If you wish, you can turn to me and change your position. Okay.
Being still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something that happens in that stillness.
Mm-hmm.
I can't adequately describe it. But when you say, but the part where we're, you know, having an active mind or
mm-hmm.
you know, feeling agitated,
mm-hmm.
or you're having one person has an illness,
mm-hmm.
and they're being still with the, with what's really happening there, which
yes.
is pain and such.
Yes.
I'm not. Well, I mean, I'm not really grasping the full point of that.
Good. See, in a way, the word stillness for most of us goes better with the physical because we have a better sense of it. We don't have a sense sometimes of the agitation or movement that is our mental attachment, self-centeredness. So sometimes we say silence as if, but if we take silence as the opposite of that, then we don't see that body, mind are not two. And if we're mentally agitated, if I say it that way, or reactive, we're bodily reactive. And we're not, therefore I use the word silence, but if we tend to see the word silence as an opposite, then we don't see the other aspect of how I'm using it. We tend to make it very narrow. In the same sense, we think stillness is the opposite of movement, but really, when we're doing kinhin, kinhin is being still, and yet it's moving. And sitting is moving in the midst of being still. If you didn't move during sitting, you would stop breathing, your blood would not pump, your nerves would not work, and yet it's being still. And of course you know what would happen if the blood didn't pump and you didn't breathe. And yet it's being still. And it's to be able to see that those two aren't too different. They're the same, that intermingle, yet sometimes we focus and see one and sometimes we focus and see another. And sometimes we put our attention in one and attention in another. Now, when you're saying that you have difficulty in seeing this in terms of, let's call it emotion thought functioning. The difficulty in part is often connected to adding self-centeredness to the emotion thought, as opposed, in other words, because we right away say my emotion thought, my thought this, my thought that, implicitly and sometimes explicitly, sometimes we assume it and we can't even see how it's anything but that, then it becomes difficult to see that. But I don't want to explain too much, because my explaining is a pointer. It's what we discover in being, if I say it, this mind that isn't limited to our ideas of who and what we are. It's not limited to ideas that separate body, mind, world. See? When Wang Po, as you know in the class that you were in, says, Buddha's sentient beings are just this one mind. He's saying Buddha's sentient beings, whole universe, just this one mind. He's not using mind in the small sense. And we need to know that our functioning of mind is not a small sense. But we need to discover this in through entering each moment, small sense of allowing it to arise and pass, or making effort according to what's called for with the agitation. And when we still the body, we're stilling the mind. And when we still or allow the mind to be silent, or if I say it another way, slow down, we are allowing the body to slow down, which is why we sit upright, still, silent, quiet mind, if I say it that way. Beginner's mind, not knowing mind. See, knowing mind is agitated mind sometimes, reactive mind sometimes, attached mind sometimes, because we look from, act from, speak from, react from that, quote, knowing, attachment, etc. So then we can't act freely, appropriately, skillfully, because what comes out is just the habits reactiveness, the agitation and tension reactiveness, the attachment, often without us, quote, knowing it. Okay. Yes.
I mean, sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes there's stuff going on and I'm aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I get involved in it.
Yes.
And coming to a retreat tends to quiet me down at first.
But
I don't maintain, unless I really work at it, I don't maintain control. I can't choose to be quiet. So, I mean, you said we, you know, just let it drop, but after a while, today especially, after I got a little tired, I wasn't in a position to let it drop. It sort of took over, and I got in the flow of the thought process and the feeling process.
Yes. But let me say, it's not about judging and figuring out how am I doing, but when you notice the, let's say, the strength of the stream of mind chatter, emotion, agitation, at when it's strong, your job is to notice it when you notice it. You to see, observer is a functioning. It's not necessary to go around observing except when we're caught up. Then we need to use and be able to use that function of observing the caught upness so that we can for a moment release it. And to know what are skillful ways that work for us, whether it's labeling, whether it's attention to breath, and other, we have to be able to let go. And if we find we can't let go, then we, our effort is then to let go of can't let go, because then we add on, as you say, judgment about it. We get into it. Good. Then we do it at this moment. It's not about judging what happened a moment ago, a minute ago, 5 minutes ago, how long have I been doing this? No. Nor is it judging how's my sitting going now. That's not our job either. It's none of your business. See, it's not our business to grade our life or our practice, much less someone else's life. It's, if I say, our business is right now being here, being open to this universe conveying itself as our life.
So then whatever technique we can, whatever technique works best for us to be able to break through if we're getting caught in our thought. Feelings.
I would say less breakthrough, more let go, because because breakthrough is there's more separation and word escapes me at the moment. There's more opposition. As if it's an oppositional, there's this thing that's the problem and you have to oppose it. No, because it's nothing but your life. See, so it's not, that's why the word breakthrough has a different, it's more how to allow this intimacy and yet not to be caught up in the attachment. So in a sense, open up and allow this to arise and pass. It's not an adversarial process. We're not an adversary of even agitated mind and self-centered attachment. We're not adversarial with that. We open this moment so that we can allow even that to arise and pass, and therefore we need to see what's skillful to be able to use right now so that we're not attached and entangled and reacting to let.
So then we're not necessarily seeking to be quiet, we're simply seeking to be aware of what's going on, and if there is much stuff going on, it's okay as long as we're aware of it and not getting involved and attached to it.
Now, we are not trying to be quiet, but we are quiet. See, silence is the nature, if I use that word, or stillness is the nature of who we are. So we're not. So it's like saying, well, I'm going to try to have skin. I mean, there's skin right here that I'm touching. I can't try to have skin. I could try, but then it's putting on extra skin on top of my skin in order to try to have skin. See, I touch my head and there's skin.
So then if I'm aware though of maybe some agitation and some talk, I don't have to feel that I have to become quiet. I can just sit there with it and notice it.
And in a way, noticing and letting it go, in other words, inhabiting this body-mind moment, is being still, is, if I say, being quiet, if we use that word, because it's the nature of this present moment. It's not the noise without the stillness on as a backside. Or if I say it differently, it's not the form without the emptiness as the backside. See, form is exactly empty. Empty is exactly form. See? And what's most important is to see that this isn't about theory, but about doing. That's why our practice is not a matter of getting a whole bunch of theories, but sitting and practicing together, walking together, eating together, functioning all day as this practice life that we are.
Right now, I seem to be still, letting everything else go so I can hear you.
Mm-hmm. So why do you say seem to be?
So you would say, no, no, no.
I don't say no, but notice that even in hearing, while you're hearing me, you're also hearing the traffic outside and the slush on the roads and the silence. In order to even hear me, there has to be silence. In order to hear anyone, there has to be silence. Otherwise, you'd never hear. You'd never see. You know this about painting. And in a way, it's that way all the time in our life. Of course, some of it is going, quote, too fast for us to notice. But that's just an idea. The us noticing has to do with us on a conscious level where we figure things out, but in terms of our being, it's always arising, passing, arising, passing, and arising, passing is all in the midst of stillness. The passing is this in the stillness, the arising is out of stillness, if I say it in such a way. Again, we shouldn't get caught with the word still or silence or quiet, otherwise we turn those into cognitive concepts and things, and we think it points to a certain theory of how it is. That isn't what our practice is. It isn't about pointing to theories, because I mean, theories are fine, it's useful to occasionally raise them up as long as we throw them away. See? And the one and the other intermingle, even though sometimes we see one side, sometimes we see the other side. Yes. Choice.
My orientation is to do things for a purpose. So when I come, I'm expecting to slow down the madness, and I've learned that it's there.
Good.
Whether I'm moving or sitting, it's just there.
Well, it's useful to know that the slowing down is within your capacity and that it doesn't hinder your functioning. See, slowing down, in a way it makes it clearer rather than hindering functioning, whether it's the functioning of mind, functioning of body, and it doesn't get in the way of doing things, whether so-called slow or fast. See, it's interesting. We do kinhin, and the way we do it, we do slow kinhin and then fast kinhin. Now, that's our lineage's tradition. Other lineages just some just do slow, and some just do fast. That's neither here nor there, but each does its own form. However, whether we're doing slow kinhin or fast kinhin, it's important to know that the movement of kinhin, of walking, is in the midst of being still. It's not different than sitting still and upright. It's another form. And we can do this not because, quote, I said it, you believe it. It's not, it isn't that way. It's just to explore it in the doing of it. We can discover that there is slowing down and stillness, if I say it that way, in the slow movement of kinhin, and then in the fast movement of kinhin. And whether it's slow or fast doesn't stop, doesn't hinder the stillness of it. And if we can discover that in kinhin, we can discover that in other aspects of our life. And we could discover that in the so-called excuse me, physical or bodily, we could also discover that in the so-called mental, emotional aspects. So, but we discover this not because someone says it to us, but because we do it and we see it for ourselves. Just like we discover all sorts of things in the process of being present. So that's why, that's how we practice together. You want to say something to Linda? I shouldn't say to Linda, I should call you Kosher. Okay. I have to remember, even though I gave the Dharma name, I have to remember to use them.
I actually just discovered right now from where uh-huh. that when I am walking fast in my house, because I do that, have been doing it as exercise, mm-hmm. because it's too bad to go outside, so I walk around the furniture in the kitchen, and I go down and walk around the mm-hmm. furniture in the living room, and then around the art area. But I noticed when I'm doing that, at times I just am filled with joy,
mm-hmm.
and I just, and then I'm yes. and I think it's that
yes.
stillness in that walking. Now, I don't get it in here, but I think I know why I don't. Because I either the person in front of me I think is going to slow or this is that, you know. So now that I know that, I think I can.
Good.
I can do it better here.
Well, what you can do is notice no. what you're commenting and judging.
Right, yeah.
Because I was going to bring that up, but you brought it up, which is all the better. Because what we discover in being stillness in sitting, and stillness in moving, and stillness is the joy that's naturally the functioning of our life, our nature, our being. See, it's naturally joyous. And it's just when we're caught up in the agitation or the attachment that we don't see the joyousness, because we tend to have a one-sided or skewed or distorted or entangled perspective and vision. See, then we don't sense the joyousness that is the movement and stillness intermingled, that is the silence and words intermingled. See, that's manifesting the joyousness that is who we are. See, that's what our practice is allowing ourselves to be this joyousness that we are. In a way, we could say to be this subtle matter, this true nature that we are. Being the source of our life manifests joyousness naturally, not as something added on or dependent on a specific condition or specific activity. Yes.
I have a comment and a question for you.
Uh-huh.
The comment is, myself and other people I've talked to have had some insomnia,
uh-huh,
where sleep for a while and then awaken, and suddenly cognitive thought becomes active,
uh-huh,
of its own in a way, and won't allow returning to sleep,
right,
for me and others.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that we don't have complete control of when we have what you call thought storms.
Mm-hmm.
Now the question is, at this stage of your practice, do you have thought storms, and how do you practice with them?
Yes, that can occur. It can occur bodily, it can occur emotionally, it can occur emotion thoughts. They occur. Just like out there this morning, it was snowing, and then it stopped, and then it started. Those occur naturally. And the question is, what do you... It occurs, and in a way, this is tomorrow's talk, so I don't want to go into it. I've got a tomorrow's talk already. But I will start it, because in a sense, it's occurring as a result of all sorts of cause and effect, some of which we think we quite know, and we even no solutions for, so that they don't occur, and some of which we're willing to say we don't know, but they occur. The matter isn't about whether they occur or not, but what we do when that, I'll use a fancy word, karmic circumstance, or as you say, thought storms, or I would really say body-mind agitation, because that's what it is, whether it's cognitive distortions, emotional distortions, bodily illnesses, or, as you say, waking up in the middle of the night with this agitation. And then, just like in the snow, if I look out and I see there's snow, I have to take off the shoes that I was planning on walking with and put on shoes that snowshoes or something that wouldn't get damaged by the moisture and wouldn't cause my feet to be cold in a little while. If you wake up in the thought, emotion, attachment storm, then you have to see, what can I do now? What's skillful practice? What's appropriate? Appropriate meaning for this circumstance, condition, body, mind that I find myself in, what is appropriate and skillful so that I don't react out of this and don't create more entanglement and suffering because of this. What it is depends on all sorts of things. There's simple exercises, there's simple things you could do, and sometimes those don't work. Then you have to do other things. Simple meaning you can lie there and breathe and be attentive to counting the breath, or even chanting as you breathe, silently or quietly. Or you get up and walk around, do kinhin around the house for 5 minutes, slowly. Or do bowing. I just made up three. What is appropriate depends on all sorts of things, and we can talk about that individually. Some people, since you're a pharmacist, I'll especially give you a plug. Some people need to consult with the pharmacist or medical professional and find that kind of help in order to be able to then, because this thought, emotion, agitation storm is so intense, the body condition is so intense that they need that kind of support before they can do something else. So there are no, sometimes it's simple things like making sure that before you go to sleep you don't get into a fight with a friend, a partner, etc., or you don't watch certain movies or engage in certain activities or drink certain things, whether it's coffee or alcohol or whatever. So there is no prescription, and there's no guarantee what karmic circumstances will arise for us. I don't want to go into that further because, as I said, that's that's tomorrow's talk. Otherwise, I'll just talk. We don't need that. Well,
I just want to add one more thing that I do skillfully, and that's get up and have a spoonful of peanut butter. Because I think it's my body that... unless something...
Good. And that works.
It works.
Great. See? We've just had another... Now, unfortunately, you can't turn that into a pill and sell it. But it's even easier. I had a friend who used to take a spoonful of peanut butter with honey. So, okay, I think, yeah, we... enough for today, and we'll continue our practice, Sesshin practice together, and manifesting this true nature. And day by day, this Sesshin will continue. Thank you.
Copyright 2013, Eliu Genmyo Smith.